Aloha.
We're back. Hello and welcome. It's us. You thought we'd never return. Well, here we are. Got a little waylaid, and I have to self-report here. It definitely was my fault, as any of you who have listened to the show for any amount of time will know. We pride ourselves on being here each and every week. We're consistently here doing a show, and if one of us is previously engaged, we'll pre-record a show. We'll make sure there is something there to deliver. Other than the time that my Patreon account and home were being looted by a previously known to the audience individual, I've been here every single week to do a show. And we closed last year off with our always happening end of the year show. We shut everything down for 2021 with our dear friend Travis Rogers. Then we don't typically do a show the very last week of any given year because it's no one listens that week. Everyone's busy doing the holidays. The week between Christmas and New Year's. So we didn't do a show, and then we were on track to do our first show of 2022 last week, and I woke up in the middle of the night. I believe it was Sunday night, Monday morning, January 3rd, and I felt a little cold. Too cold, but also I felt very hot. My face was hot, and I was laying there on my side in bed. It was probably about 2:30 in the morning, and I had to get up for work that morning, and I was laying there with my lady, and I was like, I knew what had happened. I knew the fucking Omicron had got my ass. That shit got me. And it definitely wasn't the Omicron, because everyone's saying the Omicron was mild. I had the fucking Deltacron. I had the Sigmacron. Like whatever the next shit is, when they're going to tell you in a couple weeks about how some new shit's coming out, some new variants, that's the one I had. I had COVID-20 because the shit was fucking pretty heavy, only for a couple days. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to pretend like I was laid out for an extended period, but I had a pretty shitty couple of days. So shitty, in fact, that I could not record this show. I couldn't, like, I can record this show sick. Let's not forget, the last two shows we did last year, I was playing with a fucking deep finger laceration. Including episode 402, I lacerated the finger roughly 10 minutes before we recorded the show. I still did the show. My finger was bleeding. It bled for nearly a week, by the way. Remember how I said, oh, hey, they probably can't stitch it because it's like through the nail. Turns out they can stitch right through the fucking nail. And actually, they probably should have stitched that fucking thing because I kept ripping it back open. I kept rebandaging it. Reclosing it, taping it, fucking butterflies, all sorts of different band-aids. But I played through. But this COVID-20 laid your boy out. He just could. There was no way I could record. I stashed myself. I quarantined in my child's room. Luckily, he's got his own like little setup where I could be in his room and then directly use his bathroom. So it was just like a little corner of the house where I could stuff myself and not encounter other people. And, you know, I didn't have the strength to walk in to the Baller Lifestyle World Headquarters studio and record a podcast. And for that, I apologize to the audience because I'm better than that. And I hope we can maintain our audience, because that's the thing with podcasting. You got to be there when you say you're going to be there, or else people forget about you. So I hope you haven't forgotten about us. I'm super sorry that we weren't here for the first show of the year, but we're doing the first show of the year right now. So thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us. Episode number 404, and I'm back. So we're going to bring the heat. I'm fully recovered. And I'm stoked to be here. So joining me now, as always, of course, it's Ed Daly. Ed, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. Glad to hear you're okay.
Yep.
One thing I would say is I was just reading that. This has been the problem with this virus or all the variants. Is it kills some people and some people don't feel it at all.
Yeah.
And so it could have been Omicron. I was reading that, the people in the hospitals, they do have Omicron. It's just, it's almost all unvaccinated people in the hospital with Omicron, but it can fuck you up and it can be like a cold.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people I know are just, have it now, NBD. And here's the thing, Ed, I'll be honest. During this pandemic, I have not been extra safe. Like, I've been okay. I do done what everyone else has done. I wear the mask when I go to the grocery store, of course, and I do what I'm supposed to do. But just this past weekend, and even around Christmas time, when it appears I was infected, I was not on purpose, but I didn't go out. I didn't see anybody. I wasn't out and about. I didn't do anything. Like, I didn't encounter people. And I was telling somebody just right before, 2 days before I woke up in that pool of sweat in my bed, that I was immune to COVID. I'm like, there's no, it's been 2 years.
That's a brag I'm not going to make. I'll get it soon.
Of course. And my chick's like, what are you doing? She's like, you're fucking jinxing yourself. And I'm like, it's been 2 years. I've been to Las Vegas. I've been to restaurants. I've been to bars. I've been out and about. I'm like, it's, some people just can't get it. I'm one of those people that can't get it. And she's like, you totally just jinxed yourself. And then I did that thing where I knocked on wood. And it wasn't.
Yeah, that's supposed to work.
It works. It's
supposed to work, right?
Technically, there was no wood around. So I just knocked on like a granite bar top. And then I was doing it again with some friends. And I was telling them how I'm immune. And she's like, what are you doing? And so I just knocked on like a metal table. I think I might have, it's too many knocks. If I had just done the one, then I'm safe. But because I did it twice with the double knock on wood, the second can't knock on wood canceled out the first knock on wood, and the jinx was so negative.
I didn't realize like a two negatives cancel each other out type thing.
Yes.
I didn't realize.
Exactly. That. It's exponential. It's like multiplying two negatives. So anyway, it's I'm back. It was a rough couple days. But I didn't die, and I don't think. Nope, I didn't lose this taste or smell. Basically, I had the flu. Just picture like your shittiest flu you've ever had.
Yeah,
and that's what I had.
I know some people that like months later are still struggling with smell and taste, and that would suck. Awful.
Yeah, I heard one comedian whose podcast I listened to. His everything kind of tastes the same, and mostly stuff tastes like shit. So anything he tastes just has the same taste, and it's a bad taste.
It's an underrated joy of life is like tasting things.
Yeah.
It doesn't get enough credit, but tasting things is an underrated joy. What was I going to say? I was extra careful. I mean, I've been pretty careful the whole time with masking and stuff.
Sure.
I was extra careful right before Christmas because it was like we were going to do my sister's family and my mom and my dad. And you know, you're as vulnerable as however careful everybody was, but but you know, I did it and I hope for the best and I knock on wood once.
Don't do it twice.
We made it through. For like an outdoor football game, I haven't masked, although I am hearing that like, you can get it outdoors again with like the more virulent, but I've done it and somebody right next to us tested positive the football game. I didn't get it. So I am not immune, but I've been lucky so far. I just haven't gotten it.
I was with you. I was one of the ones, you know, fucking 2 years in. No vid. You know, now you're the last man standing. I'm kind of jealous.
So just before we started, I was like, wanted to check what the kind of my book is done until like next Thanksgiving. There's nothing to do with that. Like nobody's going to be buying a Christmas book in March type thing.
I just wanted to see
like what the final numbers were.
Yeah.
Okay, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, I used to have a step grandma that would go out like after Christmas and buy a bunch of Christmas shit for the following year because it was on sale. Now, I know your book is likely not on sale, but
it's not on sale.
People do prep for the following Christmas. So let's not like put it to bed just yet.
I could sell
some fucking Christmas books in the spring.
Well, I'm going to add, you know, like 3 pages and make a, you know, 2022 version. Like I'll just keep updating that. That's can be a, like kind of an evergreen product, but I'll just, you know, add a little layer to it. But anyway, I looked and thank you to all who purchased or reviewed, but I did notice one review and they just gave a star and I just thought I'm fascinated. Now I'm not a bitch to think my work is precious and everybody needs to love it. But in my life, I've never thought about like you either like something enough to give it the 5-star or dislike it to give it a 1-star. I mean, I'm not really one of those people. Like I haven't really given a 1-star on Amazon, even when I've gotten shitty things.
Neither have I.
But someone gave me a 3-star and I'm struggling to process. They were motivated enough to put 3 stars on there. They didn't. And I wanted to know why, like a genuinely, that's aggressively neutral. Like,
what is
that?
I don't know. I'm it's just so fascinated. Weird.
Like I'm not saying my product has to be a 5-star in everybody's mind, but I am very disturbed that there's someone out there that felt compelled to review it, but just went, meh.
Like, it is kind it's sort of a passive aggressive thing. Like a 3-star review is much worse than a 1-star review. Because a three stars, like somebody really thinking about it. Like a 1-star reviewer, they 1-star every fucking thing. Like there's nothing they don't 1-star. They're 1 or 5. It's a fucking A or an F for them. A 3-star review person, they think their shit matters. They think what they're doing is important. And they're like, somebody needs my 3-star review. I'm going to be helping the world by giving an
I'm going to provide a little nuance.
Review. Yes. 3 stars is where I'm at on this shit.
Did they
write anything?
It's just that's what I wanted to know. Like if they said, you know, this part's good, but this part isn't, like they just gave me nothing, just 3 stars. And
disgusting.
It's just a weird review. That's my only point. Not that you can't dislike it. It's that, for any product, you can't give anything a 3-star. What is that? 3 stars?
Yeah, it's weird. It's weirdly aggressive, and I don't get it. And hey, show yourself. 949-464-TBLS. If you're the 3-star reviewer, come on this show and fucking justify your review. would love to have you on. We'll interview you. Send me an email, mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. I would like to get the basis for your 3-star review. Something you could think about to boost sales, Ed.
What?
Or not necessarily boost sales. Well, yeah, maybe boost sales. We do an audio version.
For Jace Do?
Each chapter. Yes. Yeah. No. Yes. Perfect. Yes. Each chapter read by a different listener. So
that would be great.
We got Manuel reading a chapter.
Oh my God. He's still my heart. If we could get Manuel, I mean, of course, Lala.
Of course.
And 906.
And 906 are beautiful voices. Dolomite D. Of course, he could read a chapter. Everybody reads a chapter. And then somebody buys your book in the non-Christmas period of 2022. I'll edit it and I'll put it together. We send them an audio file with the listeners having read the book. You got Guru Stu in there. You got everybody. People just volunteer and everybody reads a chap.
We'll do that for the 2022. We'll do a little something for that for Christmas of 2022.
Absolutely.
One thing, I mean, it's a long show. I love it. I love doing it with Travis each year.
Yeah.
The one thing that I meant to put in there that I forgot, sure. We covered movies, music, what I try. I mean, I'm not really plugged in with music, but we try to do a little
Who
bit.
Who is?
Comedy. The comedy special of the year was Chappelle's. Chappelle's thing that caused all the controversy.
Yes. Yeah.
And it was, and I rewatched it because I was like, I was taking down my fake tree. I have two trees, by the way. I gotta get a real one and a fake one because I have too many ornaments.
Yeah.
One upstairs, one downstairs. But
visible from the street, one visible from the outdoors, one not.
Now, we face the back of the building. So now we face it's good for quiet purposes, a storage facility. So there's no building behind us.
And good security.
I noticed some breaches there. But anyway, as I was taking it down, I wanted just something. And I was like, let me listen to Chappelle's special again. Yeah. And I thought it was, he's a fucking brilliant guy.
Yeah.
I thought it was brilliant and also head scratching. I mean, I think, you know, there's no canceling. He's not canceled, of course not. And he's great. But it was weird. He based an entire special on like a grievance with the trans community.
Yes. And a very small but vocal community. Yes.
Small but vocal. And, he made valid points in like, if you want to compare, what black people have to go through. But at the same time, it's like, yeah, but two different people are going through different things, but they're still going through something. And it was weird. It's like he was arguing. It was like very defensive, but he's still brilliant on how he phrases it. I just thought it was very interesting, as opposed to the one that everybody loved where the guy's doing these weird songs. Bo Burnham.
God.
You know what I'm saying? Like the two things with all the buzz during pandemic. I don't know what year that was. But it was that and the Chappelle thing. And the Chappelle, it's like, it makes you laugh. It makes you think. Yeah. And I disagreed and still loved it at the same time. I disagreed with his basic premise that he's got to put one group down. But at the same time, I thought it was brilliant and like funny and like in a way that only he could pull off. And I just, I was like impressed and confused at the same time.
It was definitely a very ballsy choice, which is, you know, which is what he does. Like, he knew it was going to be controversial and he did it anyway. And, you know, that's what he does.
Right. Anyway, I was just in the things that happened. That was one of the big entertainment things that happened last year.
It was. Yeah, it was. I'm trying to think of any other comedy specials. I mean, I do watch some comedy specials.
But remember that, I mean, when I was listing the movies, like the biggest box office, and I didn't even know what they were. Like, it's one thing when Titanic and Independence Day, there are movies that, like, whether or not you like them, you couldn't avoid them. And I mean, there were a couple of them I had never heard of.
Yeah, I haven't heard of any movies. I watched that, The Power of Dog.
I don't even know that.
Jane Campion. It's Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, I like the looks of the trailer because it's got Jesse Plemons.
Yeah, it's got you in it. It's got Ed Daly's doppelganger, Jesse Plemons, in there. Although
he's a good actor.
He's a very good actor, and he's very he's very plump in this one. His nickname is Fatso. That's what his brother calls him.
That's holiday time, Ed Daly.
Yeah, exactly. It's I liked it. You know, it was okay. I don't know. I thought it was a Western because they're wearing like Western gear, but it's not really a Western at all. It just happens to take place. Like,
I was hoping it would be a Western.
Yeah, it's not a Western. And that dude, Benedict Cumberbatch. Oh, you'll like this, Ed.
Yeah.
Benedict Cumberbatch. He's in it. He's a great actor. And
Davy's choice. It's a choice I made. Davy's choice. Watch me shiver while you shake.
Exposes his dong a couple times.
Oh, so he must be working with something.
Not really. No. Just a regular ass British dick, like skinny dick. Just a normal ass. He doesn't Kevin Bacon it for the movie, I'll tell you that much.
Really?
Yeah. And one of them, well, I think they show his dick twice, and both because he's in water. Like he's likes to go to like the swimming hole and like rub himself down with mud. I'm not going to give you too much away, but you can kind of get the gist of what a guy like that might be up to. And he shows his dong right there in the movie. Pretty good actor. It's okay. You know, it's a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
Not like great, you know, it's whatever. Movies are over. There's no such thing as movies anymore. There's never going to be movies. We're never going to know what the movies are.
Yeah, I mean, I was behind. I'm like on the seventh episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, but there's just too much to watch, like in terms of shows. So, I had to catch up. I hadn't finished Narcos Mexico. Like, there's just too much stuff. So, I'm like behind on everything. I watched Succession, which I liked the show, but I also am very tired of it.
Well, I haven't seen this season yet, but as soon as I heard Adrian Brody was going to be making an appearance, I was like, ooh, nothing is improved. Nothing that already exists that then includes later adds Adrian Brody to it gets better.
I think I would guess he was in maybe 1.5 episodes.
Oh, okay. That's good. That's good.
He's not. It's still the same core.
Because he's a real...
Cousin Greg, of course.
Greg's great. He's a real scenery chewer, this Adrian Brody. Like, I just, I don't need to find another actor.
He's that beautiful Scandinavian dude. I think he's Swedish.
Oh, Skarsgård. Alexander Skarsgård.
Looking beautiful as ever.
Yeah, no, he's gorgeous. That man is gorgeous. Yeah.
Yes, he is.
I'll watch it. I got up to the curb with Bill Hader in it, and I was aggressively annoyed by that episode.
I'm trying to think of what that was. I don't know.
Maybe
I'm
you're not like, to it yet.
Yeah, maybe not. I'm like seventh episode, something like that.
Yeah. I still think it's good. It's kind of like gotten into the self-parody realm.
Yeah, I like the shitty actress. Like
it's so good. That's so good. And Tracy Ullman's amazing. Yeah.
I haven't gotten to her. I think that's the next episode.
Yeah. No. Oh, it gets good with that. It gets good with that. Okay. Let's, I don't remember how to do this. Oh yeah. We're, talking sports. Let's talk some sports, Ed. Hold on. I'm going to find the song.
My name is Brian. They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my cool rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. I'm my own Troy on DVD.
Ed, before we jump in, I made a note here, and we were talking about TV. As you know, I do The Bachelor show here on, we do a podcast, Jason Stewart and I, The Bachelor Lifestyle. Subscribe, rate, review. But I hate The Bachelor. It's awful. It's filled with the worst people.
Getting worse, or is it just the same?
So they tried to be diverse for a while, and so they had a black bachelor, and then they had a black bachelorette who picked a black winner. So it was the first time there was ever a black couple at the end of The Bachelor, which is cool. And then immediately they pivoted right back to a mediocre ass white guy. There's just some mediocre ex-football white ass McWhitey.
There's just so many of us out there.
I know.
Mediocre white guys.
It's like,
we're everywhere.
I could just do anything interesting. But it's all people trying to be influencers. Well, on Netflix, my chick and I watched this, and I'm sure it's trending, this Korean dating show that's hot on Netflix right now called Singles Inferno. And it's basically Bachelor in Paradise, but it's all Korean people. And it's such a breath of fresh air because they're all delightfully like nice, sweet, respectful human beings, and they're not like shitting on each other. And it sounds kind of boring, and maybe it would be if we weren't just like inundated with this world of everybody trying to increase their followers and look at me and fuck this bitch over here, she's a fucking slut. And it's like it's like this nice, sweet dating show with all these Korean people. And I'm realizing that given, like, if I had to make the choice, I think I would take all Korean entertainment for the rest of my life.
I still haven't watched Squid Game.
Oh my God. It's so good.
I gotta watch.
Yeah. I know. All the Koreans just like know how to, and I know you don't like reading shows. And it does.
No, but
yeah.
It's, you know, it's not that I don't like, I did watch Narcos Mexico, which almost all of it is in Spanish.
Right.
And I like that Korean movie that I can't think of the title of it. That one Best Picture.
Parasite.
Parasite.
Fantastic.
So I'm not opposed to it, but yeah, you can't be distracted because you have to read.
You got to read. And so you can't really look at your phone because you miss a whole bunch of shit because you got to read what they're saying. Anyway, Singles Inferno to my Bachelor people out there. Watch it. You'll like it. Ed, what's going on in the world of sports?
First, I have one last thing. So I was also catching up on SNL. I just DVR and then I fast forward like 15 seconds into a sketch if I know I'm just not going to dig it. Yeah. And I finally got around to the Kardashian episode. Oh. And the one thing I would say that was so weird to me is, you know how like if Black Panther, one of the Black Panther stars is the host, they do one Black Panther sketch, and then they just do a bunch of regular sketches. The Kardashian episode, Kim Kardashian, every sketch was Kardashian related. Like the mom is in this sketch, and the sister's in this sketch, and you had to. There were inside jokes that, you know how Kourtney is. I don't. I honestly don't have no idea. I know who they are, but I don't know anything about their personalities. And it was just weird. The entire show, every sketch had jokes that you had to know who they were. And I just thought that was really weird.
Didn't they? She couldn't, like, they can't have her be characters? Did she do characters?
So she played whoever the Aladdin woman is, the heroine of Aladdin.
That is so lazy. Jasmine.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is, but then like on the flying carpet next to them is Kourtney and someone else, and then they start going for like Kourtney jokes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like every, even when they're getting to one thing, they're like, oh, actually, don't forget, we're Kardashians. Oh, here's the mom again. Like, the mom was in like four sketches. It's very odd.
Oh, no. The mom's got to be the worst one. Like, she's the Svengali. Yeah.
Yeah, she's terrible.
Sounds bad.
So we got to open up, and some of these RIPs happened the very end of the year, so we won't be talking about them again.
Okay, and let's do it.
RIP in the sports world.
Let's give it proper.
Rest in peace. Rest in peace. Yeah. The ballers hope you rest in peace.
Yep.
You won't laugh no more.
Nope, you won't.
You won't smile no more.
Probably, unlikely.
You won't laugh no more.
Or you won't laugh twice.
Again.
You won't fuck no more. Yeah, oh, that's true.
Wow.
Dear late to the party.
Dear late to the party.
We hope you rest in peace.
Beautiful. Beautiful. R.I.P.
The great John Madden, 85 years old. Yeah. That was like couple days after Christmas, maybe a day after Christmas, something
we live in the fucking worst times ever. I saw, and I didn't, I'll be honest, I didn't pay close attention to this, but John Madden died and people were like, yeah, I bet he regrets all the head injuries that he contributed to by having his name on that video game. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, football existed before that video game, and also he probably put fucking generations of his family into fucking mansions because that video game's never going away, and it's got his fucking name and face on it every year. Good for him.
I mean, I'm not the first person to say it. He's probably the most important person in football history, like in terms of promoting the game.
Yes, absolutely. He's the first. Well, no, sorry, Cosell. But much like Cosell, he was the big star that you. If he was doing a game, if him and Pat Summerall were doing a game, it could be any game in the season.
There was juice to it.
It felt like an event, which is the opposite. Who's the big guy now? It's Joe Buck who makes the Super Bowl sound like a fucking preseason game because he doesn't vary the tone of his voice. Also, he does it with Troy Aikman, who's also horrible.
And the cool thing about Madden was he knew the game really well.
He did.
But broke it down to like, so the common fan, but like when I was 8, 9 years old, here's Madden explaining what the point of the offensive line. Look at how these two pulling linemen open up here. And like, he got you excited about things. You actually understood the game more. And absolutely. Unfortunately, and this goes for every great artist, the Madden imitators, many of them have been awful, but
yes, yeah.
you can't fault Madden for being, yeah, I mean, he was the best. He was like the exciting color commentator that knew the game and explained it.
It is a hard gig, you know? People don't realize you can't just fucking sit there and describe what you're seeing. You have to have an angle and you have to have a charisma, and just most guys don't have it. Madden did. And he had those sweet eyebrows.
He had huge eyebrows. Yeah. The biggest.
Yep.
Dan Reeves, 77 years old.
Be honest.
I met him.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right.
He had a few.
Yes.
I pretended to be a Christian athlete to go to this event because it was like at a friend of a friend's house, and they're like, Dan Reeves is going to be handing out footballs, and I was like, okay, I'll take a free football and meet Dan Reeves. But he was talking about the Lord a lot, and it was like kind of weird for me.
Especially with that accent.
But he was drunk.
Yeah, that's even worse. He had that thick Southern accent. He was very hard to understand. Yeah. And I imagine that's why he lasted so long in the NFL, because most of the time the players didn't understand what he was saying. So you couldn't really tune him out because you never could tune him in. And also, I don't want to be an asshole here, but I thought Dan Reeves died a few years ago. I was like, Dan Reeves died. I was like, oh, in 2006? I didn't realize he was still alive.
I, I think news came out a couple of years ago that was it dementia or something? They kind of made it seem like he was in bad shape. And so when the end happens, when they've already been reported, right, they're in bad shape.
That's what it is. I believe he played tight end for the Cowboys back in the day. And that's, you know, they were good.
Yeah, got his bell rung.
Helmet. Yeah. Yeah.
And then a couple of like very famous guys who played a long time ago. Celtics Hall of Famer won 10 titles. Sam Jones was 88, and Hall of Fame Jets wide receiver Don Maynard was 86.
Heard of him. RIP, guys. A lot of sports RIPs.
This is something that's kind of cool and also terrifies me that this could happen to me at some point. Yeah. An NHL fan spotted a Canucks staffer's cancerous mole through the glass from the stands, and now he's cancer free, and she has a med school scholarship.
It's amazing. This is not the first time this has happened. Yeah, this has happened before. I want to say somebody was on like Oprah or like Dr. Phil, and there was a nurse watching at home. Somebody within the sound of my voice will remember this story. And a nurse was watching on TV, and they're like, "Hey, get that mole checked out." They called like their local affiliate. They got connected to the production, and the person had cancer. It was a cancerous mole. Same exact story as this Canucks staffer. It's amazing.
It's an amazing story. It's just kind of scary to know, like, if you don't have that good Samaritan with some medical skills that notices it, we could be walking around. I mean, I go to the dermatologist, but it's kind of scary.
Yeah, try going to your regular GP and going, "Hey, do you want to look at this mole on my back?" They'll be like, "No, it's fine. It's like they won't even look at it. There's no money in it. They're just like, whatever. It's a mole. They're all fine. Don't worry about it."
Yeah, if it changes colors, get back to me.
Right. Yeah,
that's what they say.
Yes.
Now this is somebody we hear a ton about.
I know.
Scottie Pippen's ex-wife Larsa.
Yeah.
Says she makes $10,000 a day on OnlyFans doing freaky stuff for Middle Eastern men.
No, I don't doubt that that's true. I believe her when she says that. Now,
how much of that is Shad Khan, do you think?
Yes. I mean, what's that movie, The Dictator, with Sacha Baron Cohen? And like in that movie, he's got like all the pictures of like Lindsay Lohan and all these different starlets that he's fucked because, hey, that's a dirty little secret that actually does happen. So I believe her that this is true. I want to know, is it because she's Middle Eastern? Like, how does she know they're Middle Eastern? Can't they just be regular ass dudes?
That's right. That's a good point.
Because it's the internet. It's a one way. Like, she's putting out her feet pics, which I don't shame her for that. But
the username is going to be Saudi Arabia Sammy. Like, it's whatever.
Well, is it like when I look at the world map of who's listened to our show and I'm like, "Oh, it's fucking Russia. People listen to the show in Russia." But she looks and it's just all like Dubai.
I guess. Yeah. I guess that they probably OnlyFans tells you the map.
UAE. Now, Larsa's, you know, Scottie Pippen.
So she's going through the whole NBA, right? Like, that's her thing.
Well, hold on. I was about to look. I was going to do the classic Who's Dated. Let's see here. Who's Dated?
Because her name has come up a lot on her show. Yeah. I'm not really sure why.
Well, I think she's just recently divorced from Scottie. And now, you know, Scottie, he's well rumored to be packing an otherworldly package. Okay, do you know who Malik Beasley is? Is that a sports guy?
Yeah, he's a basketball player.
Okay, well, that's who's getting her now. Before that, she was with Future. Who I believe Future is the baby daddy to Ciara.
Oh, wow.
Oh, Tristan Thompson, who's in the news. He's, oh my God. Someone called Harry Jowsey. Heard of him?
I don't know Harry Jowsey, but
Eric Moreland looks like another basketball player, Oregon State.
Yeah. I mean,
big hoop resume.
What this tells me is I certainly would feel very intimidated going in there.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, she's got a type. She's
been through some work.
What's interesting, though, is that I just listed like four or five basketball players she's been linked to. And I'm just looking. She was married to Scottie Pippen from 1997 to 2021. So that's like.
I like that an older woman. I mean, somewhat older woman is doing work. I like that aspect, but it's pretty weird how like there's just new players all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you know, it's she keeps it tight. Good for her.
The New York Giants had yet another tough season, and they thanked season ticket holders for suffering through that by offering them a free medium fountain soda, Pepsi products only. And I know that Pepsi product only thing because I live 15 minutes from the Meadowlands.
From the Meds.
And so the meaningless Washington Giants game the other day on Sunday. My son, somebody offered me tickets and it was like right above the tunnel where the players came out.
That's stuff. Pretty cool.
And it's like, so it was like kind of cool for my son. But then I had another friend in town who's a Giants fan. He's like, well, I've been meaning to take my son. The tickets have to be cheap. It was like $10 to get in for an NFL game.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so sad. And then my son's like, I'd like to get a Coke and it's Pepsi products only. And I was like, this is going to have to do, buddy.
Right. You're just going to have to make do with what they give
it up. Pepsi.
Yeah, Pepsi. You know, it's one of those things where it's a pretty, just give nothing, right? You're like, hey, we sucked. Here's a Pepsi. That's worse than just being like, hey, we sucked. Here's nothing.
Sorry. Yeah. And sorry, we'll do better next year. Instead, like they're giving something that, what is that? 10 cents in value? Yeah, 5 cents in value to the team?
Yeah, I take my kid to the Dodger game, and if you go to the Dodger game, there's a little secret that I've never taken advantage of. If you go to the Dodger game and you go to like the fan experience booth or something, they're all over the place, and you go in there and you go, I'm the designated driver. They have you like sign this pledge, and then they give you like free sodas for the game. And so I go with my kid. And I'm always like, fuck, should I go in that thing and get him a free soda for the whole game? And I'm like, nah, I'll just pay $9. I'll just get in line and pay $11 for a medium. So, I mean, it's just, you know, I'm sure some people are really into the free soda thing, but not enough. I can't imagine.
It's probably a lot of paperwork, too.
Yeah, it's there is you have to sign. Like,
you're not gonna like just say, hey, I'm gonna designate drive, and then they're gonna be like, okay, cool, here's all the soda you want. No. It's kind of like getting the free breakfast in Fast Times where you gotta get your money back and Brad Hamilton gets out the paperwork. Listen, you moron. That's
exactly what happened. Fuck Dennis Taylor.
Football robot reporter in quotes, Adam Schefter, he tore his meniscus possibly while attempting the gritty, which is the Justin Jefferson dance.
Why should he be? Is this like Rich Eisen running the 40?
I think that's exactly it. Like, he wants to be more of a personality and he doesn't realize he's not. He's just used for his non-reporting skills.
Yeah, he's got information. He's an information guy. He tells you who's going to be the next Dolphins coach. And if you're into that, have you noticed that there's like three, just off the top of my head, three main information dudes. Number one,
Woj.
No, I'm talking about the NFL.
Okay.
Schefter, Mike Florio, the worst of all.
Rappaport?
No, Jay Glazer.
Jay Glazer, who also loves to talk about his MMA skills.
He's got an MMA gym. He's got a goatee. Is it an accident that all NFL information dudes are 5'5 or shorter?
Yes. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, they're like little Napoleon information sources.
They're like, hey, Taylor Heineke, I mean, just, are you done with that jock? Like, if you, you're not going to, you know, you're just going to give it to the equipment guy. Could I get a little sniff? Just a little.
Daddy needs his fix.
Just a little sniff. I didn't get to play. I'm 5'3". Okay. But I love the game. I love it just as much as you do. If I were your size, I probably could have played, but I'm not. So just got, are you done with those Under Armors? Like, can I get a little sniff? That's how I picture it going.
And tearing an ACL dancing.
Yeah, that's bad.
Or not ACL, what a meniscus dancing. Yeah. I'm no dancer, but I feel confident I wouldn't tear my meniscus.
Look, Adam Schefter is like 10 years older than me, probably. And the other day, I don't know if we talked about it here, I woke up, I had not done anything physical because it was the holidays and I was busy. I woke up the other day, I had a knee injury, Ed. I woke up, and it hasn't gone away. Woke up, had not done nothing physical, and there's something behind my knee cap that's like, that hurts, and it won't go away. Like, to the point where I limp to take my morning leak and brush my teeth every morning. So wow. Imagine Schefter while on a very small frame, you know, he's 55 years old. You can't just fucking bust out the gritty without stretching or doing some Pilates or something.
I guess. Yeah. I'd like to think I'd be able to break one out without,
I don't know,
tearing something.
I'd have to see it.
I mean, I guess he's just a famous celebrity boxer now, Logan Paul.
Yeah.
Apparently his $3.5 million Pokemon card collection might be fake. Some experts have weighed in and they feel he has fake cards.
Couldn't happen to a better guy. Although I do wonder about this, cause not that maybe a few years ago, this buddy of mine was over at the house and we were drinking.
Oh yeah.
My buddy Will, and he started telling me about Magic the Gathering.
You mentioned.
And he's like, look, he's like, if you got the right deck, he's like, the right deck, because you like collect. Apparently, it's not like Uno, where you could just show up and play anybody's Uno. You got to show up. It's like Dungeons and Dragons. You got to show up with like your characters and shit, and you put your stack against the next guy's stack. I know.
Sounds like a real drag.
Yeah, and he's like, you know, some of these decks, they can go for hundreds of thousands of dollars. He's like, just one card can be like 50 grand. And I've said to him, and I'll continue to say this, and I'll never understand it. If one card is 50 grand, why won't they just make a whole bunch of that one? Like, it's just they're just printing them, right? Yeah.
I don't know if you've noticed, that's kind of how we're treating the economy for the last, 15 years. We just keep printing more money.
Print some more of that shit, Ed.
We're essentially Uganda now. We just print more money when we need it.
Ed, you used to sling bonds for UBS. Do you ever fucking call up the CEO and be like, hey, I did pretty good with this one bond. Why don't you guys print like 20,000 more of them? Like, can sell them to that guy that orders two steaks, you know, like give me some more of those bonds. And stuff. I don't understand. For his wife
back home.
Yes. I don't understand how Pokemon can be worth something when they can just print more Pokemon. I don't like, there's only one Pokemon. Like it's like Tops.
I also call
prints
bullshit.
More Tops, you know? Yeah.
You know how people always talk about what, I mean, yes, Logan Paul spent money on this set, but in general, when I was a kid and collected baseball cards, and there would be, oh, this is worth this is worth that. Yeah. Well, I never actually sold anything, so they're still worth whatever it is because they're sitting in a closet behind me.
No, and they were shit. Just
doing nothing.
No, they're not worth anything. It's like Beanie Babies. You missed the boat.
But I don't know anyone who actually like took a baseball card and sold it.
No one did.
And we'd have those Beckett guides to tell you what it's worth, but nobody actually transacted them.
Nope. No, you missed the boat on that shit. There was a window. I mean, somebody was probably doing it. There was a window where you could sell some shit. Remember and this was past my time, hashtag adult. Remember they were like coming out with cards, and this is maybe for the Schefters of the world, where they're like, hey, there's like two threads from Charles Smith's jersey in the card.
Yes. Yeah, they're like, I remember that.
They're like, we took his jersey and we fucking cut up little pieces and we put them in cards. And people are like, oh my God, I need that. I got to get the fucking the jersey thread card. Are those worth anything?
I was at the Charles Smith getting blocked 20 times against the Bulls game.
That's great.
So I wouldn't mind if they included some of his kneecap in some of those cards.
Yeah, that would be, I mean, he went up there. He got his own rebound three or four times and he kept trying to put it back and it just wouldn't go in.
He got fouled once, but still it was pathetic that he couldn't go up stronger or kick it out. One or the other, buddy.
Yeah. It's fine. Starks out there on the perimeter. Have him knock one down.
Breaking news, Brian.
What?
We've got an NFL arrest.
Oh, what happened?
Backup quarterback in Seattle, Geno Smith. He got pulled over, arrested, DUI arrest.
Yeah.
He, in the process, told the officer that you have a little dick and threatened the cops.
Wow.
So if you're trying to talk your way out of something,
right,
is that it? What's your move? Is it to talk about how little? Oh, you have little dick syndrome, he said.
Well, I mean,
fuck every one of y'all up.
He's not wrong. I mean, because Geno Smith, while a backup, he was driving a Rolls Royce. The backup gig is very fruitful and comes with very little CTE.
It's a great job.
Yeah. So Geno Smith, when he's talking to those cops, he's like, I'm in the NFL. He's like, you're a cop because you played high school football. You know, like when he's like, you have a little dick syndrome. Well, I mean, they did take a career in law enforcement. So he's not totally wrong in that sense. But the cop has all the power in that situation. So you just shut the fuck up. You don't say anything. You just sit there in your Rolls Royce and hope he wants an autograph. Or you could be like, hey, I got a few of these upper decks with like cut up pieces of my West Virginia jersey in the upper decks. Like, how about maybe you give me a ride home? And look, I don't know. No one should drink and drive. But what happened to the days when your celebrity would get you escorted home to your driveway and then you put them on the list for next season?
I mean, keep in mind what happened in New Jersey earlier last year, where you're not even drunk and you get drunk driving charges.
The boss.
The state is still reeling from that one.
I mean,
charges have been dropped, but New Jersey is just not the same.
No, imagine the looks that guy gets when he comes into the locker room. Now, cops within the sound of my voice, how come on TV cops are always getting changed at work? Like, how come they come to work and there got to be a locker room at work where they put on their uniform and tuck it in? Like, every time you go to the dry cleaner, you see about 20 sheriff's uniforms at the dry cleaner because it's, you know, they're probably dry clean only. They got the patches on them and whatnot. How come they can't get dressed at home? Can't you put on your uniform in your bedroom and then come to work? Well, how come there has to be, I was just watching RoboCop the other day, and before RoboCop gets face blasted by Clarence Boddicker, he's getting dressed in old Detroit with the rest of the cops. Why? How come they couldn't do that at home? Is that real?
I mean, that's how I felt. I understand when you're an NFL player, you've got to give press conferences and stuff. But when I was playing high school football, that shower wasn't used because everybody who left was just going home after
you
that.
Just go home. You just go home.
You take a shower right after that. Why would you shower?
Unless
you want it.
Unless you're getting Sandusky'd. Because Sandusky would be like, oh, you need to take a shower. Get clean. And I'm going to shower with you.
But again,
was suspect.
I don't know. If I was pieced up, my life would just be different. You know what I mean? Like,
that's true.
I'd be like totally at ease with the whole situation.
Yeah, but you still wouldn't, because the pieced up guy doesn't necessarily need to demonstrate his peace all the time, which is why
maybe during training camp, You just want to show your power.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just one. I get it. Like if you're in
Atlanta, elephant walk in the early season, yeah, just to establish your dominance.
Yeah. I mean, if you're getting on a plane, that's another thing. These guys are fucking pro players and they're still showering in like a fucking big, like corral where they're all just have their dicks out and just washing their ass and shit with their soap on a rope, just like on display for everybody. I mean, these guys are $1 million guys. How come they can't have like a little,
the individual lockers room? are incredible, yes, too.
Yes. But again, they're all just hanging out fucking naked in the clubhouse. Like, what? How come they can't do that in private? I don't understand.
Yeah. There's probably some questionable fraternity type roots.
Yeah.
You know, everything has to be dick related.
I think you're right about that. Let's do some voicemails.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus so fucking boring and worthless. But he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than Ish. His spots are useless. Shit. He's fat and got big tits.
He's Manuel in Gardenia. Oh, Ed, I thought of something. I'm not the biggest NFL guy, but I was watching that game, the last game of the season, where if the Chargers
wanted
and Raiders,
that tie,
I mean, they should have tied.
Everyone except in Pittsburgh wanted that tie.
Yes,
everyone.
How great would that have been if they? First of all, it took Justin Herbert had to fucking stand on his head and convert like fourths and 20 to get him two touchdowns and a 2-point conversion just to tie it and send it into overtime. And I'll be honest, I didn't understand.
And when he did, I was like, this is destined to be a tie. When he had that crazy fourth and 20 or whatever, I was like, this could be a tie.
Yeah, then he throws a touchdown pass on fourth down on the last play of the game to fucking tie the game. Amazing. They kick the extra point to tie the game. Then, and I'll be honest, I don't understand NFL or any leagues overtime, but when they both kick field goals, I was like, oh, it's over. It's tied. I didn't realize then it's sudden death after that. I thought you both got a shot at it. And if somebody scored a touchdown, it's over.
Just do the college thing. They don't want to be college, so they've got to do it. But their old way sucked for years and years because you would just play for a field goal.
A quarter.
So if one team got like 3 first downs, the game was over because they just kick a field goal.
Yeah.
And so they said, no, you either have to score a touchdown or you both. You both get a shot if you don't score a touchdown on the first drive.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And then they extended it more. It should have just been a tie.
Yeah. And then the Chargers fucked it up. I mean, it would have been a tie. The Raiders were about to quit. The Chargers completely fucked it up, of course. But the whole point of this is that I noticed during the timeout that the Chargers backup quarterback is that little butterball Chase Daniels.
Oh, he has made a lot of money.
I'm looking right now. I know. I want to see how much money. What is his?
I remember he was drafted by Washington.
Yeah.
Years ago. Then he went to the Saints.
The Saints, KC, back to the Saints, Chicago, Detroit. Now he's on the Chargers. The guy's played 11 years in the NFL. I need his. He barely plays. Where is his career earnings? I guess I could just type that in. Chase Daniels career earnings. because what do you say? I'm going to say $25 million. Oh, it's.
I won't go that high, but yeah, okay. I mean, it may be 20, maybe 20. Okay.
It may be almost double 20, $37,809, $809,164. How's that?
Holy shit.
How's that? And
he doesn't get hit.
Yeah, he does. He's got zero CTE. Currently makes $1 million for the Chargers.
I think they put the third stringer on the scout team. They don't. I think he's just on standby.
He's just there if you need him. He knows the plays. He knows which way to turn to hand it off. That's all you need. You need a guy that knows how to do that. What a fucking.
Well, I remember the old Texans quarterback Carr, the original Carr. He was getting hammered.
Yeah.
Right? He was getting hammered. He like broke records for the amount of times he was sacked. And so then his starting chances were eliminated and they just became the Giants backup. Yeah. He won like two Super Bowls as a backup, I think.
Yeah. What a gig. Great what a gig. I remember the best gig is to be the guy, be like Steve Bono, who's like, yeah. Everyone thinks is going to be really good. So you're a backup for a long time. Then you get that big money deal to be a starter. And then you're not good enough to be a starter. But you still got the starter money and you're still a backup.
Matt Schaub had worked the system.
Charlie Whitehurst.
There was a Lions guy. Maybe he was Marino's backup. And then he went to the Lions, something like that. Like, there've been.
Oh, Scott Mitchell. Yeah, he was a big old dude. Charlie Whitehurst, you'll be happy to know, has made a second career for himself having sex with Jewel.
What?
Yeah, Charlie Whitehurst is the boyfriend to Jewel.
That's a good pull.
Yeah, I'll say. Not a bad gig. I know.
Good for him.
Voicemail.
Good old Chaz.
Bri Big. Easy Edward. Happy end of 2021 and beginning of 2022 to you both.
He's dragging it out on purpose, right? You see how slow he's talking? He's extending the words on purpose just to talk for the longest period of time.
And especially to my dude Stewie. I spoke to him today for the first time. It used to be like almost like a daily ritual, but I call the Gottlieb, he of the schlong schnoz, who resembles one Aaron Rodgers if he had a big old deep nose in the middle of his face.
They don't look anything alike, do they? Doug Gottlieb, Jason Stewart's boss, and Aaron Rodgers?
I don't
see any resemblance at all.
And it was nice, man. Stewie was all stoked. He had double clutch and like, hey, is this really Manuel? And I was like, yeah, Stewie, who the hell do you think it is? And then he goes on and botches my call, causing me to call back.
But why is he telling us about this?
So we're now, we already established he's not listening to the show. Now we're just getting recaps of his calls to other shows that he listens to.
He does call. I mean, maybe he has listened enough or somebody has clued him in enough to note to or it's gotten back to him that I've pointed out that he calls so many local sports radio shows that he's actually or for a while was in the promos on multiple different radio stations hourly. Wow. Yeah. Let's see if he gets to something about us.
Disaster was averted as usual. I deliver the goods like I always do on any voicemail medium, any sports talk medium, basically any time that I'm spouting off. But couldn't help but note.
I love Manuel. I'm just not certain the listeners of this talk show would agree that he, quote, delivers always the goods. Delivers. He delivers a lot of words.
Notice, man, American advertising.
Oh, here you know, we go. Here we go, Ed.
I don't think I've stumbled upon a commercial that didn't include either Serena Williams,
yep.
Tom Brady, or Samuel L. Jackson.
It's true.
And quite frankly, I'm tired of all three of them.
Wow.
And at one time, I swear, I would have put my face down for Serena to sit in. Okay.
All right. Wow.
For her to use my face
yes.
as a seat.
Oh.
But the fatigue factor is really
Manuel's a giver.
In, man. I mean, do Serena, Tom Brady, or Sammy Jackson not have enough money? I mean, last I checked, each one of these people are like...
I mean, of all of those, I think Samuel L. Jackson, while he works a lot, I don't think he's quite in the
not
tax
in the
bracket of those other two. Yeah. So,
I
do commercials.
So, I do kind of agree. I do have that thought sometimes. It's like, how much is enough? I have that thought often with Peyton Manning. He's working yeah. all the time still. With that.
That whole thing he does with Brad Paisley.
Yeah, it really unfunny stuff, like aggressively unfunny. Yeah. But I would say that I kind of agree with Manuel. Like, yeah. how much is enough? But the thing that really, and we're just going to get more and more of it, is the celebrities on the crypto or the betting site things. Like, so much betting site yeah. and crypto commercials. I cannot take Jesse Pinkman anymore on his fucking things. And I love JB Smoove, and I'm glad he's yeah. getting paid. But my God, every commercial break during football is that Julius Caesar.
Also, your guy, Jamie Foxx. He yes. does the fucking MGM and Grand betting.
And Matt Damon's spots. Doing the crypto.
Yes.
Where he's talking fortune favors the brave. And it's like, buddy, you're getting paid and you don't need this money.
I've only seen that commercial with the sound off. I have my living room set up like a sports bar now so that my chick can be watching regular TV. And then I have the other TV going with the games on it, but I'll have it turned down. So I'm seeing Matt Damon and I'm like, oh, is this like his water charity or something? He's fucking slinging Bitcoin.
Yeah. He's crypto.com or whatever.
And Affleck is doing gambling commercials. Like, how much money you got? These guys are movie stars.
Yeah.
How much you got to pay him?
Fucking not just like Sam Jackson. He's been in Star Wars and stuff. And yeah. he's been in some big shit. But like Matt Damon and Ben Affleck
yeah, have movie been stars.
Handed just all the cash. Like Ben Affleck was Batman and yeah. Matt Damon was Jason Bourne. These guys have franchise money.
And it's always been like, so, I mean, Bruce Willis, he's doing those Die Hard battery commercials these days with Argyle. And look, Argyle kind of, you got to like hang something around his neck to let us know that it's Argyle. Cause it could have been anybody. Doesn't, you know, it's
yeah.
the Asian
process. I'm glad he's getting work.
Me too. So Bruce Willis, he's doing these Die Hard commercials, but his, you know, he's an older guy now, but back in the day when he was a movie star, and this is the same goes for Clooney, Brad Pitt, Johnny Depp, all these guys. They do commercials, but they do. There's a whole movie about it. Fucking Lost in Translation. They go over to overseas and do commercials that aren't going to be seen stateside. So they get the money, but they don't get the embarrassment. These days, they don't even give a shit. They're just like, what? I'll fucking do a commercial. Right. Give me the money.
Yeah, it's like real life has become Lost in Translation, where Bill Murray's character is doing that Japanese ad.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it really is now.
Suntory. Yeah, it's yeah. I mean, look, Tom Brady is what I don't like is like Peyton Manning's a little oversaturated, but at least you can see what these Madison Avenue guys saw in him when they hired him as a pitchman, because he's a charismatic guy.
He has charisma. Yes.
Yes. He can say the lines. Like, the lines aren't great, but he doesn't write the lines, but he delivers a performance. This fucking Tom Brady. This guy is such a fucking zero in the personality department. I don't understand what people see in him. Yes, he's a good quarterback. He's the best it's ever been. 100% will agree with that. But in terms of just a guy, there is no one less fucking interesting than this dude, Tom Brady. Who's hiring him? Yes.
Yeah. One thing, when I think I was like preparing Thanksgiving dinner, and so I was not looking up, and I heard a commercial for some insurance company, and I really thought they had a slow adult on.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? Yeah. What is this commercial? Like, what is the pitch? Man, is a slow adult?
And it was Rihanna.
It was Gronk.
Oh yeah, Gronk. Yeah,
I couldn't believe the way he reads, when he's reading his lines. There's clearly a cue card right behind the camera because he's like, what I get for car insurance?" Like it's very weird.
Well, so I have three words for you, Ed. Western New York, and I have three more words for you. University of Arizona. Like that's, you know, that's the product. That's what you get here. That's what you deliver. But again, Gronk, he's a tight end. He's probably made more money than any other tight end, but he's not in the Brady realm. And he's a guy that has a certain level of charisma. So you get why they hire him. He's not just a fucking pretty face. He's doing the work. He's, you know, people are interested in him.
People like that goofball thing. I'm just saying I was shocked how bad he was at reading his lines.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's reading is not as strong. Okay. So I was going to skip to the next message.
Mm-hmm.
Appears that it's also for Manuel. Hold on. This one's shorter though. This one's, let's see what he says. It might be an addendum.
Do you think he knows if we didn't have a show last week?
No change.
Is this like a voicemail like the next week? And he just plows ahead.
It appears they're both recorded on the same date. So this is what he does. He'll talk for 3 minutes and then he'll hang up and go, well, he'll do that thing where he hangs up, but doesn't realize he didn't hang up. And then he'll go, oh, I thought of some more really funny shit to say. And then he calls back. So this is that.
Son of a bitch. The bell came in on me and I wasn't finished. What I was trying to say is I long for the days.
Imagine thinking you have more than 3 minutes of shit to say. 3 minutes is a long ass time to talk. You can't get it out in 3 minutes? Apparently not.
When advertising was a bit more simple.
Yeah.
And we didn't have these superstars trying to pimp everything. When it was more Joe Public, you know, Johnny Punch Clock.
Yeah,
Amy Cashier, giving us endorsements of American products. Hollywood, get back on track.
Yeah,
enough of this crap.
Yeah, fucking A. I do like, you know, it's always insurance companies, but I do like Dean Winters from Oz. He's the Allstate Mayhem guy. Yes. He's a working actor, you know, like this guy's making some big fucking bread, and he's worked his ass off in New York for 30 years. And
another Oz guy, J.K. Simmons, when he got the farmer's gig. Oh, so yeah. my buddy was the guy who started working with him, like was the guy who cast him in that.
Yep.
At that time, it was pre-Whiplash. It was pre, you know, a lot of the big roles he's had.
Sure.
But yeah. And they've got they've got such a good gig.
They don't have to work very much.
At the end of this show, it's not about this ad, but a different ad campaign. I have a story to tell you about a celebrity that is pretty good. But in general, like it's a great gig. They work 3 days, 3 days a year, something like that. And you're on a national campaign. It's a great
figures.
Gig.
Yeah.
So that aspect, I get why they do it, because even Sam Jackson's like, wait, so I can get paid this much for working 3 days?
Oh yeah. Whereas he'll make less for doing a movie, which is like 6 weeks, and he's got to go to Prague to do it.
Right. And you're doing this scene on a train, and you got to have wires attached to you before your stunt double dives out. Like, you're just sitting in a studio when you're Sam Jackson. You're like, you're on the couch talking to Siri or something like that.
Totally agree. And also, I will agree with Manuel in the sense that fuck Tom Brady.
100%.
Yeah. Brian and Ed, happy new year, ballers. Would you rather be paid $1 million to never masturbate again or be paid $100 every time you masturbate from here on out? Please discuss in tremendous detail. Thank you, as always, for your work and entertainment. Toe cutter, exclamation point, hashtag red circle, hashtag loud comer.
Who's that loud comer?
Toe cutter.
Coming all over.
It's Toe Cutter that's doing that. That's a glimpse into Toe Cutter's bedroom right there. Ed, Toe Cutter's a friend of yours. What would you... I'll let you answer this first. $1 million. Yeah? He didn't mention this?
He came to a book signing. He came to a book signing. What a delight. What a delight that guy is.
Great dude.
He also gave me some homemade vodka. He made vodka.
Is he in prison? Is he Pruno? Did he just get out the joint? He made that in his toilet, Ed.
It's not toilet wine. It's the best.
Ed, Jesus. A very, very big radio personality once told me, never consume anything from the listeners. That's all I'll say about
He's Joe not Cutter's a listener. He's a friend.
That's right. He's a good friend.
He's a friend.
What would you rather?
So I've made this sad breaking news because I used to love everything about it. If I got $100 every time I masturbated last year,
yeah,
like I would definitely have less than $1,000 last year.
Oh yeah,
I don't know what happened.
Yep,
I don't. I really don't. Like it's not. Yeah. It's not that like my general interest in sex has gone down or anything. It's just I don't know. I just don't do it anymore. Like I do it like once a month, not even.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I was just telling my chick the other day, we've lived in this place, the new Baller Lifestyle World headquarters. We've lived here since September. It's now January. I can count on one finger. I've masturbated in this home or in that period of time, even outside of the home. You know, I've aged out of the point where I'd be masturbating in my vehicle or anywhere outside of home. I mean, maybe a hotel.
At work.
Yeah. Well, look, that was that one time. It was the Paris Hilton sex tape had just come out. I was the only one there. It's no one else was in the building except for me. I went up in the loft. Also, it should be noted, I was very hungover when I did that. It's not my proudest moment, but yes, I did masturbate one time at work.
But
I've masturbated one time.
If somebody offered me that million,
yeah, oh yeah.
If somebody asked me, I would take it and not even agonize over the choice.
Oh, dude, I would take it. I would do a shot of Toe Cutter's toilet wine, and then I would go to try to hide that money from the IRS.
Yeah, because exactly.
That's a win, big time win for me. Okay, thank you for that, Toe Cutter. Thank you for everybody that emailed mailbag@theballerlifestyle.com. Also, Red Circle, Toe Cutter is a Red Circle subscriber. Feel free to become one as well. Click the link in the show notes right now. Subscribe to the show. You know, I have a couple buddies, Ed. Mm-hmm. I have one buddy in particular who's I won't shame on the show. He's many times he's reached out to me and he said, "Hey, how do I get that? How do I get that? What's the friends and family code? Because the show cuts off and I can't hear any of the bonus material. What's the friends and family code for this to get the whole show?" And I said, "The friends and family code is if you give us $5.
I don't even have it.
Yeah.
I've never listened to the second part of our show because I'm not a paid subscriber.
If there were a friends and family code, I certainly would give it to Ed Daly. He's here. He's here doing the work. He's putting in the work. But there is no friends and family code. The only people that can hear the entire show. I can't hear the entire show. I mean, I got the back end. But sometimes, lately, I'll throw the show on my way to work, and I'm not a Red Circle subscriber, so I don't get the whole show. I get you know a healthy chunk. But I don't get all the bonus material either. $5 or $50 a year. Sign up. Ed, let's talk some non-sports.
Well, it's time for non-sports. Non-sports segment. On the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Non-sports.
Not sports. I'm talking about the segment now. Not sports segment.
Ed, what's going on in the world of non-sports?
Well, we've got a bevy of RIPs, and just like I said, for sports, we've got some deserving people who will not make our next year in review because it happened late December. And I'm going to blame the first one on People Magazine.
Yeah.
RIP Betty White, 99, just a couple weeks from her 100th. And People Magazine was putting out all this like, hey, happy 100th.
Can't do that.
All this stuff.
That's like me bragging about being immune to COVID. You can't do that shit.
Yeah.
You got to wait till it actually happens.
Everyone loved her. She had amazing comedic timing.
Yeah.
No?
I mean, she had a good one.
No?
I mean, I thought she was 99 on fucking Golden Girls. I didn't expect her to go this long. Yeah.
I did too, but
she's great.
She just had great comedic timing.
She's great. She's fantastic.
Janine Ann Roos, who played young Violet in It's a Wonderful Life, was 84. She was like one of the little kids in the first flashback scene.
Never seen it.
Oh, you should. So this girl grows up to be somewhat whorish. And so they have this 6-year-old girl like indicate that she might be whorish later.
Yeah.
So they make her a loose moraled 6-year-old. But she died.
Problematic. Jeez, I'm going to have to watch this movie now.
I think next year this might be our Christmas movie.
Okay.
Former Mickey Mouse Club star Tiffany Hale was 46. I assume she was with like Timberlake and all those people, right? I've never seen the Mickey Mouse Club, but weren't they all like that same age? I mean, they're like around our age, right?
Yeah, but she's like 10 years older than Timberlake, I would guess. Tiffany Hale.
Gosling?
Yeah. Gosling. Yep. She must have been in other things. She looks kind of familiar. She was not too bad. What got her? COVID-20?
I don't know. 46. That's
pretty young. Who knows? This could have been an Amanda Peterson situation, you know? I don't want to speculate. Oh, cardiac arrest at 46.
Booger sugar, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. It's meth, yeah.
A politician I thought was for sure dead. Former Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, 82 years old.
I hate how they try to canonize. This guy was just useless. And
he was bureaucracy with a capital B.
Totally. And they, you know, afterward, they found out he was much like Dianne Feinstein and pretty much all of them that
on the take.
He was fucking betting on stocks that he was ruling on. Just everything that's wrong with the American political system. Harry Reid, fuck off.
Lou Cattell was Ass Man proctologist from the Seinfeld episode and the Amazing Larry in Pee Wee's Big Adventure, 91 years old.
Wow, good run.
Jean-Marc Vallée, the director of Big Little Lies and Dallas Buyers Club. He was 58.
Yeah,
I looked. Sudden. I don't know the cause of death there.
Heart attack. Sudden pass. And he was a teetotaler. He was healthy guy, apparently, and that's checked scary. Out. You never know when it's going to be your time.
Desmond Tutu, the anti-apartheid leader, he was 90. Good run for him. Mm-hmm. Joan Didion, famous author, 87 years old.
It's very popular amongst women, her books. I've never read one.
Yes, I've never read one, but I know the name. Henry Ornstein, he was the creator of Transformers and a poker champion. He was 98.
Oh, I was thinking Norman Ornstein, that guy that's on CNN talking about courts all the time. Different dude.
Sesame Street composer Stephen Lawrence, 82. Everybody who was a kid knows his music. Killer tycoon Robert Durst, 78 years old.
Yeah.
P-Funk singer Calvin Simon, 79 years old. Wait,
George Clinton doesn't sing the songs?
No, I don't think so. I think he's like bass or something.
Holy shit. No, that's Bootsy Collins.
Oh, yeah, Bootsy's the bassist.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. Or maybe it's like Earth, Wind, and Fire where there's been like 700 members.
Yeah, could be.
I don't know.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Legendary director Peter Bogdanovich, 82 years old, and Bob Saget, 65 years old.
Very sad. I've been watching The Sopranos lately, so I've been seeing old Peter Bogdanovich in those girl glasses. You really get tied to a look.
He was Melfi's.
Shrink. And this Bob Saget, this is, I mean, very sad and just one of those guys that, you know, I wasn't like super aware of him. I mean, I know he's a comic and stuff, but just outpouring of love and devotion for this guy. He just sounds like he was just an awesome dude. Very sad about old Bob Saget.
Yeah, I feel similarly in that he was part of projects that I really was not into.
Yeah, of course not.
But everyone loved him so much and talked about how sweet he was that, like, yeah. I'm watching these tributes and Jimmy Kimmel, and it's like, it's touching. It's very sad. But I do remember reading a Playboy interview with him 20 years ago. Yeah. And a big part of it was talking about it was his sister and someone else, like an uncle or somebody. He's had multiple people die in their 40s in his family.
Scleroderma. It's one sister. Yeah. Yeah. And he had a big,
but there's a family history of dying young. So 65 is like, I mean, it's sad, but
I believe his wife was in her 30s. So he had a long way to go with that. RIP. Very sad.
Very sad. Hold on.
Also died that I didn't make it in there. Those French plastic surgery twins that look like lions.
Oh, they're French?
Yeah.
I knew they were something. Picture in South America. Yeah, they died like within a week of each other.
Yeah, they were doing their own research. They died of COVID.
Oh, they did?
They were prominent anti-vaxxers in France, and they were doing their own research and died.
What? But do you think they both got it? Did they live together? They must have.
I mean, come on. Of course they did. They had that same weird chin implant. They were the weirdest looking guys ever.
What? Do you know their names? Because I got to find a picture of them to make the cover of this.
The French Lion Twins. I'm going to Google French Lion Twins.
Ed, I have another very tragic RIP that just came in. Just today, breaking news.
The Bogdanov twins.
Bogdanov. Well, that doesn't sound very French. Ed.
Bad month to be named Bogdan anything.
Huh? You're making me cough. Another RIP, Ed. Magawa, the heroic bomb sniffing rat. Who's credited with saving many lives, a rat named Magawa, died during his retirement at the age of 8, which I don't know what that is in rat years. It's got to be pretty fucking old.
Sounds like a lot.
Yeah, he sniffed out dozens of landmines over the course of his career in Cambodia. He is believed to have saved lives and has been widely lauded as a hero. Quote, his contribution allows communities in Cambodia to live, work, and play without fear of losing. Oh, I lost my page. Lost my place. Without fear of losing life or limb. Magawa retired last year as the most successful explosive sniffing rat the organization ever trained. His caretaker said he remained playful until last week, when he slowed down and had lost his appetite. Ed Magawa was a Tanzanian-born African giant pouched rat. With careful training, he and his rat colleagues learned to identify landmines and alert their human handlers so the mines could be safely removed. Do you think for his parting wish, he can be buried in the asshole of Henry Kissinger? Because that's... Yet someone else that Henry Kissinger has somehow outlived. One of the biggest pieces of shit of modern times, modern statesmen, continues to live to this day. It's stunning.
What? One of the slam dunk war criminals, like slam dunk guilty war criminals. And yes. For some reason, has just walked, roamed freely for decades.
Because he did it for the good guys, Ed. Fuck him. And RIP Magawa. And take a look at a picture of this thing, because it's fucking terrifying. It's one of those rats that's huge, Ed.
I'm looking.
Yeah, it sniffed out bombs.
I just get that tingle in the spine just looking at it. Gross. Well, I've got something more terrifying, because rapper Jim Jones casually revealed that his mother taught him how to tongue kiss as a child by demonstrating it on him. Like the scene in Vacation. Dad says I'm the best.
Hey, fam, there's still a lot more of this episode to hear, but it's only available to our bonus content subscribers. Click the link in the show notes or go to theballerlifestyle.com and subscribe so you never miss a minute of the show. Man, Jay Stew and Brian Beckner, quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever. Come as conundrums, my brothers. We're viewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS.